Welcome to Rocketship, the home of epic React Native content. I'm Simon Grimm, creator of Galaxies.dev, and today's guest is Kitze. We're following a slightly different approach because we barely spent 10 seconds talking to each other because we wanted to jump in live. So Kitze, thanks for taking the time.
Thank you for having me. I'm Kitze. I'm wearing my expo hat just to try to blend in with the React Native developers, even though I've been doing React Native for like a month or something. I'm like, trust me, I am a React Native developer.
I would definitely trust you if I was the listener. About you, you're an open source developer and founder. That's what your profile says.
Absolutely not. React.
It's in your profile.
Which profile? Which profile are you looking
at? I did my background research.
I'm just curious, and you let me know, where do people find this? Because React India invited me to speak, and they post this big picture saying, Kitze, the open source, whatever. And I'm like, last time I did open source was like 4 years ago.
So, I kind of felt the same. Yeah, I don't know where. It's not on Twitter. I don't know where it is.
It's nowhere. Like, I have zero. I had one GitHub sponsor for $1 for years. Probably because he felt sorry for my open source. Like, why do people... I'm doing so many other things and people are like, he does open source in 2016.
Okay, I'm doing a different introduction. So, Kitze, it's a maker. You're a maker, and I'm most jealous that you in your past actually met Gary Vee, right? That was probably like 10 years ago. I saw a video from you. That's how long I've been following you.
I think 5-ish years ago, not 10. 5-ish years ago. Definitely.
For everyone who doesn't know, like this Gary Vee is Gary Vaynerchuk. He's famous for the hustling culture and like achieving a lot of things. Let's say.
Do you know that I was in his vlog actually? Completely accidentally.
Oh, really?
I'm in one of his vlogs. Yeah. So do you want a story or you want to go in a different direction?
Give me it.
All right.
Yeah,
so
it's fine.
He had some sneaker release event, book signing, whatever, somewhere in London. And I was at a React conference. I think I was speaking at a conference. And everyone just went to a dinner and I was like, I'm going to go to this event. But you know his fans, like I'm his fan, but they're absolute lunatics. So the line there was like, probably you need to wait 3 hours just to go there. And I'm like, oh, fuck this. I'm not going to wait here. So I just went to a random restaurant for a while. I just hang out, like all the conference speakers texting me with photos, having fun. And I'm like, you know, just sad eating by myself. And then on the way back to the hotel, I just passed by the, you know, book signing thingy. And like, I see a group of only, I don't know, 20, 30 people. I'm like, huh. Maybe, you know, maybe there is a chance to meet him. And they were closing up because it was like a quick, you know, he has a quick chat with you. And then he's like, okay, bye, see you. The next person goes. But the last people, they were like, sorry, guys, we're closing. And Gary's like, okay, let them in. We're going to shoot a quick vlog. And I'm like, what is... So they let all of us in. And he's like, okay, we're going to shoot a vlog. Who has a question? And I raise my hand first. And he picks my question first. And I'm like, I'm the guy who tweeted. And he's like, oh, yeah, I know, with the push-up. So he kind of remembered me from Twitter, which was also fucking insane. How he remembers, you know, all the interactions with people and shit. And before we left, like, I saw his security. Like, there was nowhere around him. And I was like, can I talk to... And we just talked for a second. And he signed a book, took a selfie with me. And I'm like, I left out of there. I'm like, what the hell just happened? Like, what is real life? It felt very surreal and random experience. But as he is in his vlogs, he's a really cool guy in real life too, like super down to earth and everything.
Yeah, I can't imagine it. And also MKBHD knows about you since probably yesterday.
So, that was crazy, man.
Yeah, to be honest, like, I've been following you for years. For everyone who doesn't know you, you've been doing tons of, like, you've been doing React Academy, you gave workshops, you had public speaking, you did open source, you shipped tons of projects, you did vlogs, you did music, you probably did everything besides TikTok. I don't know, have you done TikTok?
That's where I draw the line, you know. If you see me doing TikToks, you know the financial situation is bad in life. I'm like, hey guys, here are three tips for JavaScript and TypeScript. Like, it's over for me, you know?
I mean, Ben Awad is on TikTok as far as I know.
Yeah, I mean, it's a good platform. Do you know the irony of, like, the book that he signed, Gary Vee, I have it somewhere on the shelf. I think it's this yellow one. It's actually, do you know that TikTok was called Musical.ly back in the day? It was a platform called Musical.ly.
Yeah.
And he was explaining, like, guys, it shouldn't be beneath you to go on this platform called Musical.ly because I have, like, dentists and other people who are doing dances, you know, because they know this is going to be the big new thing. They can appeal to a different audience. And I was like, oh, fuck this Musical.ly bullshit. But when TikTok exploded, I'm like, this motherfucker was right for the billionth time. He knew that Musical.ly is going to be big. And now, like, whoever is big on TikTok, like, they're making a lot of money and stuff. But I still haven't dabbled with it. You?
I did for a while, but I think Ben Howard also posted a video. Like, he became quite popular. Like, he's also this React YouTuber from, like, one of the early ones before, drama with Theo and everyone else started. Ben was, like, down to earth.
Before everyone has a mustache now in the thumbnails.
Yeah, I'm sorry. It just works.
I'm wondering, because I've also been following you for years and everything that you've been doing. And recently I see your YouTube. I think your YouTube, how many subscribers do you have on your YouTube channel?
85,000.
85,000. I'm like, when did this happen? Oh, it's the mustache. I got to grow a mustache. Like, that has to be the thing that works.
It definitely propelled the growth, yeah. But it was also React Native. I think it was both. I don't know which was more.
But you know what I like about this and what I like about you and, like, everyone who proves me wrong is, like, just consistency. And I cannot drill it in my head that I've never been consistent. As you said, I've been in many platforms doing many things. Like, I was one of the early ones who started posting web dev videos on YouTube. I had, like, higher quality production videos about TypeScript and Gatsby. I made two. And I went all in. I mean, I didn't do just chopping and I did the music and I did, like, very quality production. If I just kept doing it monthly, let's say, not even weekly, I would have been, like, one of the biggest, like, web dev YouTubers. I just get bored with stuff and I'm like, yeah, but I don't want to invest time in this. And then, you know, I see other people, like, I don't want to name names, but I've seen this, like, one person, which is definitely not you, someone else, who's just, like, wanted to build his YouTube thing. And I'm like, nah, dude, you're never going to make it. Now I see his channel and he's exploded, you know, north of 10,000 subscribers. And I'm like, how many times does it need to repeat, you know, in my life that it's all about consistency? You don't even have to be at the best quality. You just do it every week and then it's going to happen. What has been your experience with this?
I think consistency is definitely one of the biggest things. I've been self-employed for 8 years, something like that.
Okay.
And I think basically since 2015, I've been posting on YouTube. Like, in the beginning, I didn't take it serious at all.
Yeah.
And, like, in between, I had a little phase where I was, like, watching a lot of PewDiePie. So I drift, like, we all drift off. Like, yeah, and I watched Casey Neistat and then I did daily vlogs. And
you also did daily vlogs?
Yeah, for like 2 months or so.
For 2 months.
It was amazing. It was a great time.
It was, Your
vlogs have been really great. Like, you could also, that's the thing. Like, I think you do really great content.
Thank you.
But you also don't really stick to it for very long.
Absolutely not, no.
I still remember, like, the Christmas episode when you, like, untangled the lights with your girlfriend or wife back then.
Yeah. I'm not consistent.
It's funny, like you see the numbers. I think you said this in the recent KitsaCast, so for everyone, you're doing currently
also that
daily-ish podcast. You said this, like 200 or 300 people are viewing your videos, but then somebody like Abdullah writes you something and it's like getting real suddenly that people actually watch this. So when I tell you, I saw how you untangled the damn Christmas lights with your girlfriend, you probably completely forgot about that.
Yeah, I definitely
watched it and many people watched it. So
And it's not even about the views that I stopped being consistent. I'm just messy with, like, I have way too many things going on in parallel and I'm like a golden retriever just excited to chase one thing. Like, I've been with React Native for a month and building the Benji app and we're going to do it. And now, you know, I'm just doing other things for a while. So it's been like that with the vlogs. I had the opportunity to be one of the first, you know, hey, look at my web developer life vlogs. Now everyone and their mother has a, you know, lifestyle channel with, this is my day in LinkedIn and this is what it looks like when I'm code and blah, blah, blah. But also when I see them, you know, I kind of judge them. I'm like, oh, this is like, who watches? On one hand, I'm like, who watches this? On the other hand, I've been recording something similar. So, yeah.
I've been in the same place. I've been like 2 or 3 years. I was really hard on Instagram. And like everyone's like, I've been probably done it for a year or so. And then it's like, everyone's just posting polished pictures of a desk your coffee and the keyboard and then some random text that nobody reads. Everyone just gives a like and then moves on. It's like there's no value in it at all, zero. That's also the problem with TikTok. I mean, some videos are actually okay, but what I did for TikTok is usually like I try to spot what's currently like the popular sound or popular meme and do something related to development and upload it. It's just fun. It's like, I'm teaching React Native now and I'm like doing YouTube tutorials on coding. Like, there's no relation between funny TikTok 30 seconds videos about developer memes and that content. So that's why I stopped it in the end.
Let me open a TikTok and we'll see. It will be nothing educational. Everything is a meme. So
I mean, you can still make money with that TikTok account, definitely. Yeah, yeah, but yeah. I think in my case, it was just, that's the problem. I'm alone. I think you have some, yes, do you have some employees?
Ish. Currently just part-time contractors. I had employees in the past, like full-time employees. Now I only have part-time contractors that come in and out. Yeah.
Probably feels better anyway. I also don't have anyone, but that's also the thing, like, if I'm not doing it, nothing happens. I can't do everything. Like, I can't do marketing, and I can't do the podcast and the videos and the sponsorship outreach and post every day on Twitter and post on LinkedIn. And
like, it's too much.
I just have to focus. So
yeah.
My current focus is React Native with Galaxies, with the podcast, with YouTube. And so far that's been great. And that's also how we connected. So 10 minutes in, let's talk about how we connected. You actually wrote something about Benji and how you're bringing it to React Native. So that's how we connected.
Yes.
We're going to get back to React Native. So that's enough for now. We just need to mention the keyword sometimes, React Native.
Okay, React Native, podcast, algorithm, yeah. React exactly. Native, use, bring, click, React Native.
But before we get into that, I would really love to know a bit more about the other projects you've been doing. So I think the most popular project you still have is the Zissi app browser.
Ah, so close. Everyone pronounces it differently. I paid to sponsor Syntax FM back in the day. And it was expensive sponsorship, like I think above 2,000 euros or something. And they were to introduce our sponsor, Sizzle, or whatever the fuck they said. I was so pissed. And there was no taking back, like they already said it. And I'm like, can you correct it in the next one or whatever? And since then, we've been on bad terms. It wasn't since then. I think I posted a meme about, do you know the meme of a guy coming out of the shower just to press pause on a song or whatever? He's all with soap and whatever. So I just captioned it, me whenever there's podcast ads. And even I haven't even mentioned a particular podcast. And Wes Bosch just commented, well, some of us have to make a living or something. And he just unfollowed me. And I'm like, with the entire Sizzle thing. And I'm like, okay, like, fuck it. That relationship, you know, went down the drain. But Sizzle is my main thing.
I don't think Wes Bosch still has to make a living after they're acquired by Sentry.
Who got acquired by Sentry?
The Syntax FM was
the entire acquired. Podcast got acquired?
I think so, yeah. It was a couple of months ago.
Oh, I have
maybe
no idea.
Maybe half a year ago. Yeah, no idea. I think
so now it's Sentry FM or it's still Syntax FM by Sentry?
No, it's still Syntax, but I think they dropped all other sponsors and now it's only Sentry. And as far as I know, Scott joined Sentry while Wes didn't want to join the company as an employee, as far as I know.
Okay.
That's also why probably Level Up Tutorials is not getting a lot of love and it's just free now. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
All right.
Let's go. But Zissi. What is it?
I should
it?
Pick better names for my product. Zissi is a browser for developers. It started as a Chrome extension that shows you multiple frames of your website at once. So when you're working on responsive design, like when you type in a URL, you just see the URL across many devices at once. And then in 2019, we decided to take down the Chrome extension and turn it into a proper browser built with Electron. And over the last 5 years, it evolved into a tool that's like a lot of people think it's only a thing for responsive design, but it actually has so many bells and whistles like out of the box that you don't get in Chrome, Arc, Safari, or any other browser because they're browsers for browsing. Like they were never prioritized to show you a panel for cookies or local storage or social media preview. Or we've even built like an API inspector, for example. I'm tired of Postman and everything is so complex. I'm like, I just want to ping this URL and see the JSON that comes back. So because it's a browser for developers, you can just add, you know, any panel that makes sense to developers, like an API inspector or a social media preview. Or recently I'm working on a new update. So that's the tangent I went on. So I've been working on React Native for a while. And then I saw a post on a forum about Zissi, someone asking, is Zissi dead? Because for 7 months, we didn't have an update. And the title of the post was, is Zissi dead? And that honestly hurt me. You know, it's fun in games. Like I'm doing Benji and I'm doing React Native and this and that. But when you have like your main product, your main startup, and someone calls it dead, and the main employee left and switched jobs like 7 months ago. And since then, I haven't pushed anything. So I was like, okay, screw the React Native things. We're going to put pause on them for a while. And then I went back on working on a new Zissi update. And the update is basically focused on visual interface for parsing your packet JSON. and running all of your scripts and installing your dependencies and managing your dependencies. So instead of going in your package.json and messing with it, like you can just go and click run on your development server. So within the browser, your development server is going to start. So at the same time, you can look at your console logs from the front end and your server logs from the server. So that update is currently work in progress. And yeah, that's CZ in a nutshell. Basically, if you're doing front end development, you'll be saving a bunch of time if you're doing it in CZ.
Yeah, I saw CZ so many times in the past, and I honestly wondered why it didn't got bigger.
Money.
Probably that's...
Developers don't want to pay for stuff. Money. It's like, you either get the response, I can build this by myself, or this is a browser, it should be free, because calling it a browser is, you know, it doesn't make sense at this point. It's not even a browser.
Why are you not rebranding it?
I am thinking of rebranding it. Like the front-end studio, something for front-end development. But browser annoys a lot of people. It would trigger me, like, if I have to pay for only browsing. But this is, like, way more. It's like paying for Photoshop or, like, any other tool that has, you know, that, I don't know, for, let's say, Adobe Premiere that specializes in making videos. So this is, like, a tool for specialized in making, you know, websites, web apps, whatever. But it's been hard. It's been hard to pitch it and convince people. I'm also, you know, as you said, one person trying to do everything, the marketing, the sales, the whatever. So I'm not doing a good job of keeping the YouTube channel up to date. The help center was outdated for a year. We worked on a new update for like 7 months, but haven't even written a changelog about it. So I've been bad, you know, when it comes to promoting this thing.
I can totally feel this. I shipped some products in the past as well. And especially when I just got like a mild response of like, I don't know, 20, 30 people purchasing. Mm-hmm, I'm always like, let's move on. I don't like to iterate. Let's just go to the next one.
Yeah.
But I feel like, or especially in the, over the last years, I always thought like you had a really good thing here at the time it came out. I think it was the first. I don't know if there are other tools by now. I don't know about the market, to be honest.
Yeah.
But at the time, I felt like this was pretty new and pretty cool. Yeah. I still think it's pretty cool. Maybe it just needs a bit of rebranding. Like the missing tool that web developers were waiting for could maybe also be the H1 tech. Like, the browser for web developers. Yeah,
it's very vague. Browser for web developers. What? Because I still use Arc as my main browser for browsing. Mm-hmm. And someone saw me at a conference with my laptop and they're like, haha, you're not using CZ. And I'm like, how can I explain to you that I use CZ to open like localhost URLs? I don't use CZ to open Amazon for shopping, you know?
The local dev environment you were missing. I don't know, something like that.
If you come up with it, I will give you $1,000. Like, if you come up with a perfect tagline, I'll pay someone money for the perfect tagline.
Yeah, after this call, I will give you a name, because I'm also working together with someone for Galaxies in terms of branding now and positioning.
You've been doing really great with your branding and everything, and you're very active on Twitter, posting a bunch of...
Kind of. I mean, you're also very harsh with landing pages, I heard recently.
I am harsh with other people's landing pages because I can also accept that my landing pages are garbage. So that's, you know, like I don't defend, like I'm a developer trying to design. So it's a bad landing page, but that doesn't, you know, take away my right to roast other people's landing pages. So, you know.
Your landing page is a nice combination of Bootstrap and Tailwind, basically, I would say. It's somewhere in between with a little bit of material design here and there and Java UI.
It needs a proper redesign.
But anyway, it's a great tool and I highly recommend it for everyone. Only problem I had right now was try now for free. It was kind of hard because I actually signed up. I installed the Mac app and now the Mac app isn't working and tells me I should buy a subscription, which is not exactly try for free, but... Maybe I tried it 5 years ago.
Yeah, probably. Yeah, I think you're logged in still with your account and you've used the trial or something. And that's
probably why.
If you sign in with a trial, you just get in the tool without asking you. But you probably use your trial and now the only option is buying a subscription. But are you working on web dev stuff or are you just React Native lately?
At the moment, mostly React Native. But you can also do React Native for web. So, might be interesting again in the future. I will keep an eye on this. I hope I will see some updates, because that's the thing. Whenever you promise, like, we're going to roll out a major update, it puts pressure on the creator. Like,
no need to promise anything. It's all good.
I don't want to put pressure on you.
If you ever just feel super frustrated with front-end development, like, that's when you reach out to CZ. At least you know there's a tool out there that I haven't tried and it has a bunch of things. I've actually been thinking what to do regarding React Native in CZ. Like, one thing that drives me crazy, if we can steer the conversation in React Native land a little bit, like in CZ, I'm used to, like, I work in the full mode. Like, people think that I'm working in responsive mode all the time. Like, I'm working in the regular browser mode. And when I want to see if my website is responsive, I click on convert to responsive view. And that just shows me an iPhone, an iPad, a Mac, and a bunch of other simulated devices. And I can see my design working. But now with React Native, I have to keep multiple simulators open in order to make it work on iPhone Pro Max and then on a regular iPhone Pro and iPhone Mini and iPad. Like, I was working on iPhone Pro Max and everything is good. I put a test flight link for other people and I see so many broken things and layouts. And I'm like, I need CZ, but for React Native development. Does something like that exist for looking at your layout?
I don't think so. I mean, it's going to be quite hard to like integrate emulators and simulators in that view, and it would also only work on iOS or on a Mac, but
yeah,
I mean, the React Native world is interesting. There are like people like Dan Stepanov. I don't know if you know him. He's also working on a ton of like projects. He's currently building out native Wind UI, which is basically bringing Tailwind CSS components with native Wind. He's doing a lot of cool things. So yeah, I mean,
you like native Wind?
I still need to play a bit more with it. I think this is where we're going in the future, because Tailwind on the web is just so dominant, and
it is.
Eventually it will just come to native. And once it starts working on native, I think people will just flood everything with like, yeah, let's put tons of Tailwind native Wind stuff out. Mm. I mean, there's nothing bad with the Stylesheet API. As far as I know, yeah, maybe we can now go into Benji and how you built that app. Because I had also some other questions, but
yeah, for
let's
sure.
talk about
for
the, sure. the tech behind Benji. We were coming right now from the UI perspective.
Mm-hmm.
As far as I know, you used GlueStack, right?
Yes. I've been trying to find a library. Because like, I hate people both in web dev and React Native who are like, I can just do it myself. Let me just reinvent a button. I've always been a fan of using libraries for, you know, for doing my, like, for example, my core Zero to Ship heavily relies on Mantine, because I think it's the library that gives you all the components. Like, any crazy shit that you'll come up with, you don't have to search for it on NPM and whatever, and you have it in Mantine right away. You want Spotlight, it's there, like every single component. So then when I switch to native, you know, I start coding on it and it's just a plain no library and whatever, and I'm like, oh shit, I need a segmented control. What do I do? Oh shit, I need a button. And then I'm like, okay, let me just do quick research. And somehow I know that these guys from Geeky Ants, I think, they were working previously on, what was
Native
it called?
Native Base.
Native Base. And it never seemed promising to me. I'm like, what is, you know, it's like, this is not. Mm-hmm. But now they kind of rebranded it and they made it new. And I like the API. And I'm like, okay, this is similar to Chakra. It's similar to Mantine. But boy, was I disappointed in like a billion different ways. I am super disappointed with it in the end. I don't want this to steer people away from trying GlueStack, but I'm just know where I'm coming from. I'm coming from Mantine, which for me, Mantine 6 was the top of developer experience. When it comes to availability of components, styling every single part of the component, how short are the components when you copy and paste them, like from native Win, like I have an accordion with three items, but the snippet for that is probably like an entire file. It's like accordion and accordion parent and parent of the parent and child of the parent and accordion chevron some. And I'm like, I just want three things to open and close. Like, it's so fucking annoying, dude. I get it. It's more composable, but whatever.
So GlueStack isn't exactly what solved your problem.
Absolutely. And even when you have GlueStack, you also have to pull other native thingies like... If their modal is not right, like the bottom sheet, whatever it's called in React Native, you got to pull out a third-party one and then style it by yourself. And it's, yeah.
I was under the impression that they like made this modular and that GlueStack is the core thing. And then they had GlueStack UI. And I was thinking that GlueStack UI would probably have components. But
no, GlueStack UI GlueStack... has components. The problem is it doesn't have that many. And when it does, the API for them is like, not as customizable, as not as simple as Mantine. So I'm used to that, you know, type of API, which is like super straightforward. And I also think like performance-wise, I think their TypeScript is not that good, because as soon as I installed it, it boggled like down my entire editor, started, you know, being a little bit laggy, which hasn't happened with other projects like Mantine or whatever. I think they're doing some type magic in the background, which might not be the most performant TypeScript. So it just, as soon as I added the dependency and started using it, my iteration became slower and slower because you press like autocomplete and you wait 5 seconds to tell you which props are available on this component. So overall, not happy with it. What would you recommend?
What is your go-to? I was just looking at their to-do list example, and I can see I don't really like that code. Yeah, I'm also not a big fan of like style sheet, and I reinvent everything. I completely get this. And that was my biggest thing when I got to React Native back. I was also like, I came from Ionic. You probably played around with it also at some point.
You were the Ionic guy for the longest time, right? And I just remember.
Yeah, that's me. Yeah. I'm Captain Ionic.
Yeah. Yes, dude. Yeah. Yeah. I love how you totally made me forget about that. Now, when I joined this podcast, like I forgot about all of your other sins, and I'm like, oh, the React Native guy, Simon.
It's so funny. Like I've been doing what is it? It is April. I launched Galaxies in like March last year.
Okay.
With a completely different focus. It was like all things web. It should have been like Egghead with courses from different creators.
Oh, okay.
And that totally failed.
Okay.
And after 2 months, I decided, oh, well, that didn't work out. I spent like 30, 40K on this and I made like 2K. This isn't working.
Okay.
So I rebranded the whole thing and decided, let's go for React Native. I like React Native and the market looks good.
Better, yeah.
And like between, it's like maybe... It's not even a year I've been doing consistently YouTube tutorials about React Native. And now people start leaving comments like, you're the best one for React Native and you're the React Native guru. And I'm like, I can't be that. I've been doing this for like 8 months now. I can't be the React Native guru.
You've been doing it for 8 months. I posted 3 tweets that I'm doing React Native and my DMs are flooded with, so what's your experience? So how did you do this? Which libraries would you recommend? I'm like, I don't fucking know. I just started yesterday. I read the docs. Like, I don't know how to do all the things, but people are like that. I think they're always looking for like the closest person to their experience, not like the best expert in the thing. Like if people have been following me for a while and now I do React Native, they would want my advice over, I don't know, so-and-so who is like very popular in the React Native circles.
So Ionic actually has like tons of great components out of the box. I don't know if you played around with it, but like cards, buttons, lists, and like everything. And when I got into React Native, there was like nothing. So yeah, I also tried to find a good library for that. Honestly, I don't know if I've found it. I hope that NativeWind might step into this, but I mean, NativeWind is not a library by itself.
Exactly.
NativeWind is like Tailwind.
Yes.
We need Tailwind UI, which is going to be NativeWind UI.
We need Mantin for React Native. Like there's I want to do a long video about this because I think Mantin is very slept on. I mean, they completely shat all over it in version 7. In version 7, they decided to switch to CSS modules, which like for me, kills the entire library. Like I don't want to style, I don't know if you've seen the syntax, but it's like
I tried it once, yeah.
Tailwind is like one line and it's messy and you cannot read it. And I've been a hater of that for the longest time. But compared to having a separate file with CSS modules, like that's absolute bullshit. So, you know, I thought I've left React Native. I've been doing React Native like 6, 7 years ago. And I thought when I'm going to come back, there's going to be this one library that just has everything out of the box and everything works. And like the most basic thing that's been driving me crazy with Expo and React Native is like the bottom sheet modal. Or just a modal overall. It's such a simple primitive. Like, what drives me crazy when doing web development and React Native is when the primitives don't work, like the most basic things. Let's say you have an app idea and I already know what I want to build. But when the freaking primitives don't work, like a dialogue or a bottom sheet or a button or a pop-up appears in another planet instead of appearing, or a tool. You know, it has happened with every single library you've used probably. You hover the tooltip and you want to make a popover, but the Z index, but something. And I'm like, if someone just figures out the primitives, building apps will be easier. And I think Mantin has figured that out for the most part because you don't have to find a tooltip library and a toast library. Like they have everything. And it's like, if you have a modal with a popover and the popover has a tooltip, like you'll never have some weird shit happen. So I expected something similar in the world of React Native. But first thing, like the I thought I'm going to do import modal from React Native and I'm going to get that nice iOS thing that, you know, you can swipe it down with everything. And then React Native just shows me a full modal and there's no swipe gestures. There's nothing. And I'm like, are you fucking kidding me? Maybe there's something in Expo. And in Expo, it has to be a route, right? You got to have a route as a modal in order to have that swipe to go back.
Yeah, that's the card modal on iOS, right?
Yes.
I mean, on Android, it will still present a full screen model, as far as I know, because they don't have this cool card UI thing.
Yeah, I thought there's some like abstraction that's not Android or iOS. It's just like in React Native code that's like swipeable and works smooth and works with inputs inside. I've been using this from Gorhom. Maybe you've heard.
Yeah, Gorhom, yeah. Gorhom bottom is like sheet. The, yeah, it's the best solution for a bottom sheet in React Native.
It is, but also like there's some also weird shit happening with it. It's not super predictable. Like I have a row of icons and sometimes they all just get squished, like someone stomped over them. And it's, you know, it's basic. The basic should work at this point. It's very frustrating.
I completely agree. I think this is one. Yeah, I don't know if this came up in the React Native surveys that happened recently, but to me, this is also one of the biggest downsides when I got into it. Like, there's nothing. I mean, it's cool. there's just nothing.
This should be on their landing page. React Native. There's just nothing.
Yeah, I mean, it's great. From your experience, you said you've used it 6 years ago. Let's leave out the UI aspect.
Yeah.
Is the rest better? Did it improve? Like,
yeah, with Expo, I would say. Like, I wouldn't touch vanilla React Native, to be honest. I think Expo is doing an insane job. That's why I got this merch. I actually enjoyed it so much. I'm like, holy shit, this too. Like, I couldn't believe that there's an API where you like push things and the native app builds faster and I have it on my phone faster than my web app builds. Right now, my web app takes 20 minutes to build on Railway and it's unpredictable. And I pushed with Expo EAS, whatever it's called. I don't even know all the terms. And I see like building, submitting to test flight, and I see the update of the app. And I'm like, I open Twitter, I DM them, send me merch, please. I love you. Like, it's amazing. It's just like deploying a web app somewhere. And I got the link on test flight. So, but other things, I don't know. It still feels, you know, like the same old, like back then I remember, like, let me just tell you how and why I got into React Native. Like, I've been doing React Academy, my React and Redux workshops. I've done one Redux workshop.
Are you still doing that, by the way?
I'm doing it from time to time when companies request for me to do it, but I suck at marketing and selling it.
Yeah.
So when someone wants me to do a workshop, I do a workshop. So I've been doing React, Redux, GraphQL, and some other things. I did Redux once. I felt very dirty, like I'm selling my soul. And I'm like, I'm no matter the amount of money, I'm never going to ever do that again. And then a company was like, you know, do you know React Native? And I'm like, sure. I haven't touched React Native in my life. I'm like, for sure. Yeah. What do you need? And they're like, we need like an expert to come to Portsmouth in England and train our company for 5 days, starting from the most basics of React Native to deploying an app and to all the app store things. And I'm like, no problem. I'm your guy. I got you. So I charged them like a very hefty price. And then I have 1 month to be an expert in React Native. So I dive deep and I start doing all the crazy shit, which by this point I've forgotten everything. Because, you know, if you don't use it daily or like every once in a while, you forget every single thing. And I go and do the workshop. And at the end of the week, they take me to a restaurant and they're like, this was one of the greatest teaching experiences. And I'm sitting there on that lunch like an imposter, you know, like, yeah, I've deployed many native apps in my life.
I still remember when I gave my first live workshop, they also like, it was a local company actually in my town that reached out. And first I had no idea what to charge. So I don't know if I completely undercharged, and it was like a 2 or 3 days Ionic workshop. So I actually knew the material, but I've never done anything like in-person workshop. And then at the end, everyone was also, wow, this was so great. Yeah, You're such a good teacher. Yeah, and I'm like, of course.
Yeah.
Always
doing it. This should be motivating to people who want to teach, because what's been happening in my workshops, like usually we'll finish the workshop and someone, like I remember a guy walking with me on the way out and he's like, man, how do you do this? Like I know so much and I want to teach, but I'm afraid that I might not have all the answers. And I'm like, were you there with me? I don't have all the answers. Like when someone asks me something super specific, I'm just not ashamed to be like, I don't know, dude. I have never connected Redux Saga with Redux other thingies. You do you, you know? Like I'm not ashamed to just tell them that I haven't had this. Like when they ask me about testing, I'm going to do an entire React workshop. And they're like, okay, but what about testing hooks? And I'm like, shoot me, gun to my head. I don't know how to test hooks. I don't do tests. Like, and I don't think that disqualifies me as a trainer, but a lot of people don't even start teaching thinking that I'm not the perfect teacher and I won't be able to, you know, teach other people. So try.
Yeah, 100% agree. That's also why I picked up React Native again last year and I immediately went into content creation.
Yes.
And, I mean, it felt hard at the beginning, especially because everyone, and I still get this today. Like under every single video, can we do this with Ionic? Because I'm the Ionic guy. For like half the people.
That's annoying.
Every single video. Can this also be done with Ionic? More Ionic, please. anyway, yeah, it's interesting how fast like you pick up things. And I like that you also just said yes to this, because everyone else would probably have said, no, I don't know React Native. So yeah, no, find a different teacher. I really like your mindset of just saying, yeah, I'm the expert. you got the right person. I'm the Ken Cdots of React Native. that's amazing. But that was 6 years ago, or the workshop was, I don't know when ago. Yeah, so
around 6 years ago.
We are now back with anything else. So GlueStack isn't the best solution, as you said. I honestly don't know what the other solution. I mean, Tamagui looks promising, but
Tamagui
at the same
looks
time,
amazing.
But it's also kind of complicated and a bit messy. I don't know. Have you tried it?
I haven't tried it. I just judging by the look of the web components, I haven't tried it in a native app. Like all of the effects and animations that they have, it seems way more polished, and it seems like a better API, more polished and more components. Like I want to make a website where I compare all of these libraries, both for React and for React Native, just to see the list of how many components do they have and what kind of APIs, and maybe people leave ratings and stuff, so we finally can make an easy choice. Fuck, this is an app idea. Now, like now, I'm the type of guy to like. I have 50 other obligations after this podcast, but I just came up with this. And after we end this, I'm going to prototype and try to build this. But anyway, back to the thing.
yeah. Before we get back to the thing. Exactly. I'm completely the same. Two or 3 weeks ago, I recorded a podcast with Nader Debit. You've probably seen him before. And I was also like thinking about new side projects and what I'm going to do over the next time. And then we recorded a podcast and he's really deep into Web3 stuff. And
yes.
Like, and after that podcast, honestly, I was researching 2 hours for blockchain developer jobs and tutorials. I need to get back into this.
Look, your subscribers are going to let you switch from Ionic to React Native. But if you switch to crypto, you're dead. Your channel is, you're like, top 5 coins to get in order to boost your portfolio. when I saw Nader sidetrack, like my entire podcast is just like side notes of a side notes or a tangent on a tangent.
Yeah, I like it. It's like an unedited insight into your brain.
Yeah. So I realize I'm like that on other podcasts too. And there's nothing you can do to stop. You can pay me money and tell me, kids, just stick to the script and probably 15 minutes and I'm out. That's it. But I saw Nader at a React conference for the first time. I didn't know who Nader was. Like he wasn't that popular. We're just like random speakers. And I see, you know, the table and I see this guy taking pictures of everyone. And I'm like, oh, it's so nice for the bodyguard from the conference, you know, to take pictures. So like, and literally he seemed so huge and intimidating. He didn't seem like all of us nerds with our Docker hoodies, you know, just nerding out. But he just stood up to take pictures. I'm like, oh shit, we have security here. And then I met him and he's like the nicest guy ever. He's super fucking nice.
He was amazing. He definitely sold me on Web3 again.
He made me buy a bunch of Solana, which I still hate him for, because Solana has been tanking since the start. But
yeah.
Yeah, good guy.
Okay, by the way, we're talking about React Native in the context of Benji. We could have probably said this before because it's one of your paid products, but as always, you're a bet with marketing and I'm as well. Yes. So Benji.so is the product. It's basically an operating system for your life. I gave it a try and I looked at a few of your videos. You can pretty much track your habits, medicine intake, water, whatever you want to do in your life. It looks to me, honestly, really interesting because I'm also the Uberman guy who watches all the podcasts and does all the protocols. So this looks really interesting to me. I might give it a try later. And that is actually the app you're trying to convert from web into native, correct?
Yeah, I basically made a native app of it already.
What is the initial product? Is it initially just React on the web or?
React, yeah. Next.js, basically. Yeah. I kind of screwed up. So the story of Benji is like a couple of years ago, I had this habit tracker idea app and I called it Better. That was the initial name.
Yeah.
But Better is impossible to SEO. Like you can never have SEO rankings for something called Better. But a couple of years ago, I started building it without shipping much in public. That's my regret. And I was building it probably for a year, year and a half. And then I spent, let's say, a year on the web app and then 6 months on the React Native app. But I haven't said a word to anyone. I wasn't sharing screenshots, videos, nothing. I was like, man, when I release this, this is going to be huge. And what happened, like it was built with Create React App, GraphQL in the backend, and React Native with no libraries in the native app. I was just YOLOing the styles and everything. So I got to a point where like, this is shareable, this is good. And I don't know what happened. I was probably burnt out or just, I don't fucking know what happened, honestly. Then I decided to bail on the product. I started using another paid tool. I wrote one of my popular blog posts, just the saddest Just Ship It story. That's what it's called.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
It goes viral on Hacker News like every year or something. And like I regretted that I was building my own tool and now I'm paying this other company for their tool, like monthly, you know? And I just been using that tool and Todoist and Notion and Coda and a bunch of other shit. And I'm like, none of this satisfy my needs for what an app should be when it comes to like to-dos, planning, habits. Like I have better ideas. So I started building again, but this time in public. Like very early, I was sharing a prototype. Mm-hmm. Everyone had access. And I was working way too much on the web. Like I've been building on the web for like probably a year and a half. So second iteration, I still made the mistake. Instead of going early evaluating the tech stack, like, hey, what happens when you inevitably need a native app? Because this kind of tool, like I'm a laptop guy and I'm lugging my laptop everywhere. I hate using, like, I don't know how people do everything on a phone. Like my wife will be doing, hey, I'm doing taxes. I'm like, what the fuck? We have 15 big screens in the house. And she's like, yeah, I'm doing this comparisons anyway. So me being a laptop guy, I was just building it on the web. But every time someone tried it, they were like, hey man, this is great, but I don't like the PWA. Like it fucking sucks using it on native just because PWAs are terrible. And you need a native app. And now I'm with this like huge app that I've been building for like a year and a half. It has like so many features and screens. It's in Next.js, which is, I would say, a pretty huge mistake because it should have been like a single page app to make it like a bit faster. Because most of the stuff is client side. Like it's not like public pages that you see. Like you are a user and you just see your own stuff. So with Next.js, you click on a page and it takes a while to load and it's a pain in the ass. So now I'm just stuck. Do I make a native app or do I use Ionic or do I use, have you seen Solido by?
By Fernando Rojo.
Yes. So I've seen that and I just, you know, I don't watch YouTube videos. I skim YouTube videos. So I see his talk. I'm watching it at 2.5 speed and I'm skimming through it. And I'm like, this can turn my Next.js app into a native app. But then I research a little bit and people tell me, no, this is not what you think it is. Like it's, you cannot have your Next.js app as a native app. So I'm like, fuck it. I can just build it from scratch. I started with building the app from scratch.
I mean, technically you could probably build your, wrap your Next.js app with Capacitor, what Ionic is using under the hood, but then it's still a web view, right?
Yeah. And it doesn't have that smoothness. Dude, I've been playing, like sometimes I open the Benji app and I play with the models and with the haptic things because mobile apps are satisfying. Web apps are crap because everything is janky, just appears in your face and you swipe back and the page reorders. And native apps are just, you know, like when I was showing it to my wife, she's like, oh, I can have a modal in a modal. And I'm like, yes, it's native. Now you can have all sorts of crazy shit.
So that means you started basically from zero again for the Benji native app.
I started from zero and there were a few problems there. So first the API, I've been using Blitz.js for the backend. I'm also like my course is based on Next.js and Blitz.
Yeah.
And you're frozen. Okay, you're back. And Blitz.js doesn't allow you to use their API on mobile as simply as tRPC would. So there's no like, I don't think if anyone has done it because there's not that many Blitz fans. And maybe I'm probably one of the first ones who found a way to use the Blitz API on native. So first of all, I made the app with just an API token. So no login, no sessions, no cookies, whatever. Like I would go in the native app and just put my Benji API token. Mm-hmm. And I would expose separate endpoints from Next.js that have nothing to do with Blitz that actually communicate with the native app. Mm. But then I'm like, I have, if you've seen the features in Benji, there's like probably 45 features. Each of them have 5-10 requests like posts and gets and whatever. And I'm like, if I need to expose all of these in a separate API just for the app, it would be a nightmare. So I found a way and a friend helped me, Zico helped me with, while I was building it with the API token and my API, he tried to find a way. So now we have a tRPC proxy sitting in front of the Blitz API. And I wrote a script with ChatGPT, which like takes all of the Blitz endpoints and like lists them as a tRPC proxy. So now in the React Native app, people can log in like with their email and password. And we use like tRPC.api.todos.getAllTodos. So at least the API part is now kind of working, I would say, because it's not a mono repo and every TypeScript is very slow and everything is slow. So long story short, if I would go back in time, I would, and especially like 2 days into React Native, I tweet that, man, I just want to use a div. After my tweet, like 1 hour, they announced the React strict DOM with the, you know, yeah, and I'm like, man, if I would just go back in time, I would definitely build Benji with like React Native Web and Strict DOM because all the components are very similar and I'm just rebuilding them on native. So I'm building my shit twice, once with Mantine, once with GlueStack. And there's nothing that couldn't be achieved on native or on web with just React Strict DOM. So it's too much to refactor right now. I don't know where we're going to take it from here because like in the last week, I built like 7 new Benji features on the website. And I'm like, oh man, but I'm all the CRUD and everything I got to do to port it on mobile now. And, you know, it's I don't know where to go from here, honestly. It's hard.
Yeah, it sounds like you're kind of in a really painful situation.
Yes.
Because, I mean, the web looks good. It's not feature complete. You're still working on it. But yeah, far, everything works. But you also can't easily transform it into a native app. But you definitely need a native app. I can definitely see this.
Yeah.
If I wanted to use Benji, I would definitely want to, like, in the evening in my bed, just open the app lock what I did during the day. Yeah.
I mean, the good thing is I've rebuilt most of the features in a week. I've been coding like a madman and people are like, holy shit, it's happening so fast. Now we have fasting. Now we have hydration. Now we have food logs. So I've rebuilt everything. But now when I change the food logs logic on the web, now I have to go and also do it on native. And it's like that song and dance is going to be a bit exhausting.
I mean, what I've seen is, I don't know if you tried this or if it's already your stack, but people use it in a mono repository setup where they have like a Next.js and an Expo app in that mono repository.
That's the next step. So first we tried to make it work with like tRPC. Now it needs to be moved in a mono repo and try to take like the simplest component, let's say the fasting tracker, like the orange ring circle thingy with the few dates and try to move it to React Strict DOM. So the same component is used in the Expo mobile app and also in the web app. It's going to be tricky, but I want to start slow and slowly using at least all the hooks, all the JavaScript logic, all the things to reuse as many things as possible.
Yeah. I've seen some pretty cool examples, especially Tamagui had also an example where they used like Next.js and Expo next to each other. And then they used Solito to unify the routing. And like they had a page in Next.js and they had a page in the Expo app. And like both were just pointing to one other component that sits in a completely different folder. So you like share that complete thing for a page. I don't know if it makes sense, but it's still going to be challenging because you use Mantine on the web and something else on native right now.
I think sadly, like after hating on Tailwind for so long, I've been a very loud Tailwind hater because it's a long class and you cannot read it and yada, yada, yada. But after Mantine betrayed me and decided to use CSS modules, I'm like, where to go from here? We have Chakra, we have Panda, we have Arc UI or something from the makers of Chakra. Like there's so many CSS and JS options. The problem is, as much as I dislike the API of Tailwind and having everything in a giant class name, there's so many resources out there, like paid and free, that I could find way more components than I ever could find in Mantine. Because Mantine has the built-in components, but good luck finding some community created things. Like there's like two or three libraries. And Tailwind, like I land on some guy's website and it's like 79 components for only $40. And I'm like, $40 is like so fucking cheap. And you can have all sorts of animated and fancy components. So I think my next iteration in all of my apps is going to be slowly moving them to Tailwind, maybe experimenting with native Wind on mobile. And then I don't fucking know what in between. Are you using Tailwind in your apps?
Yeah, I'm slowly trying this. And I think this is just what's going to happen. It's probably the same as with React. Like React is not the best thing on earth. Like Svelte is pretty cool and whatever came out over the last years. But the community of React is just like
insane.
The ecosystem and everyone, like all the packages, it's just and the same is happening probably for Tailwind. Like it's maybe not the best thing, but at this point everyone's using you got all the components all over the place and once native Wind works great on React Native, I think there's no going back to anything else. And people will just adopt it because they come from web. Companies use Tailwind already. They're going to use it as well. They want to use it for their native app. And so you're going to find all the resources in like 2 or 3 years probably for native
Hopefully.
Wind as well.
Dude, when like this pisses me off so much. It's like at the end of the day, all of this is basic rectangles. Like when you say in a few years, we might have all the 15 components, like... Both web apps and native apps together, they need like 50 components in total. If we all agreed, hey, we're going to use Tailwind. Here are the components. Don't ever import Mantine, Chakra, anything else. Like it would be amazing. But No.
I also love your rants on Twitter when there's another Unity demo of like something creating an explosion and we're web dev still trying to center a div or whatever.
Yeah, but with native win, centering a div with native win, it's different.
It's different. There's one more thing I wanted to ask you about the Benji app, because on the web, I noticed you can upgrade to Pro and you're using Lemon Squeezy as far as I know.
Yeah.
What are your plans for the native app? Do you want to like still offer in-app purchases, or can you integrate Lemon Squeezy as well in the native app? I'm actually not sure. Apple will be happy about that.
I don't think that Apple allows it. And people told me that, I'm not sure if this is true, that if you have payments in your backend, in your web app, basically, you have to implement in-app subscriptions with the Apple method. Is that true for native apps or no?
I think so, yeah.
They got to have the choice to subscribe through the native app with Apple taking 30%, or they subscribe with Lemon Squeezy on the web. So that is...
Yeah, I think that is the way. So probably you're going to just, as a maker and indie hacker, you're probably just going to tell people, open the damn website and purchase it over there.
I will, but how will I implement like the in-app payments? Like, that's a nightmare I don't want to think about. Like, there's two things I don't want to think about. Push notifications. Every time I read the documentations, I'm like, no, it's like, it's too much. I wish it was simple. And then payments. I don't want to, you know.
Yeah, it's a pain. It's definitely a pain. I used RevenueCat in the past. That's probably what everyone's using. But still, the setup of like the products and Google and Apple and then connecting the IDs and making sure it's right. And I mean, in your case, it's not just like I'm buying 30 crystals in my app. You're doing a subscription. you got to connect it to your backend and make sure that when people cancel it, they got to cancel.
Hey, with the amount of features that I'm adding to Benji, like today I'm planning to add a wardrobe feature. Like, don't be surprised if you can actually buy crystals and like not even in-app, like real-life crystals are going to arrive to your fucking door at some point. It's like everything and everything in that app.
It's amazing how many features Benji already has, but it's not having a landing page. Are you not working against what you preach?
Yeah, I'm terrible. I'm terrible at this. I'm like, why don't more people pay for it? And then another voice is like, because you don't have a landing page, you fucking donut. I'm not sure how much time we have. Do we have time to discuss Android, like React Native on Android? Like my experience with that.
Oh, yeah. Let's go.
How long are you making these podcasts? I'm not sure.
I mean, initially I said 30 minutes, then I went for an hour. So yeah, an hour is fine.
So perfect. So I've been working only in the simulator on the, on macOS.
Android.
And I've been not on Android yet. So I haven't even tried if my app. So I'm building a universal app, which I'm not sure if it works on Android. And people are like, hey, but you're using this package. This is not going to work on Android. I'm like, I don't care for now. I just want it on my phone. So I use it on my iPhone. It's pretty smooth. And people are like, man, like someone DM'd me for, hey, man, I can help you with this. I'm a React Native developer for that many years. I can work for free. I'm enjoying the app. I'm a Benji fan. So basically, I would like to help you with the app. And as soon as I invite them to the repo, they're like, opening a PR. What the fuck? You're not using flash lists or what are they called? Flat lists anywhere. And I'm like, why would you use a flash list? Like a map is fine. Like it maps through the things. And I hate the flash list because you gotta, like, it's a required prop for a measurement. Like, approximately how big is this list? And I'm like, how the fuck do I know how big is the list gonna be? Like, especially I have a case, like it's an accordion of three collapsible thingies. And each of them needs to have like a list in them. So when I do them with a map, they're fine. But I try to use like flash lists from Shopify. And it's like completely breaks. It's like parent is like zero height. And I'm like, this is why we don't use flat list. We go back to the good old map. And it worked fine for me. And then I impulsively go. I'm in a mall and I'm supposed to buy groceries. And I come back home with an Android phone. Like, you know, just it clicks in my brain that, you know what? I haven't had Android in a while and I want to do the native app. So I'm going to buy. And I go talk to the salesman like it's 1934 or something. And I'm like, hello, good sir. Can you recommend me like some phone? And he's looking at me like, have you been on the internet? Like, you have YouTube. Why are you asking me? And then he's talking about Motorola and vanilla Android. And he convinced me to buy a Motorola Neo something, whatever. And I come home and I'm like, okay, time to do Benji for Android. And I launch it with Expo and everything. Dude, everything is so fucking laggy. Laggy as I've never seen. And this is like it's the latest version of Android on this phone. It's like 8 gigabytes of RAM. It was not a bad phone. It's still a budget phone, like 200 euros. But it's, you know, I'm expecting more from it, let's say, because it has like the performance for everything else. And it was super fucking laggy. And I'm like, oh, now is the time where I need to start optimizing things specifically for Android. Because I haven't used, I use Memo, I use Callback. I don't optimize the global store. Basically, for the global store, I was just using context, meaning everything's going to re-render all the time. Mm-hmm. And on iOS, it's kind of fine. It's the latest iPhone. It's like, you won't notice it. But here, I would like open a dialogue and you would see like and things happening.
Oh, really?
Because it would be a property on the global store, which then just re-renders all the components. So now I have to, someone on Twitter was like, if it works smooth on Android, like that should be your benchmark. Make it work smooth on Android and then it's going to work everywhere else. So that's been my experience.
Yeah, I've heard people, and I've been at the same point. Like I've been, for all my tutorials, I usually use the iOS simulator or my iOS device. And to be honest, like I sometimes get comments like, this is totally not working on Android. And I'm like, okay, next. Yeah, I sometimes try it out on Android. In many cases, it actually works because my stuff is usually some basic tutorial, like how do I upload an image and how do I store it? But I heard this before. People are saying that Android is kind of still an afterthought for React Native. I don't know why that's the case.
Because Android is an afterthought period in the world. Sadly, I've been a huge fan. In some of my old bios, you will find actually in my Kitsa bio, it would be like big Android fan, fuck Apple, iSheep, buying Mac products. You know, I was that guy for a while and then I saw the light and I'm like, nah, dude, you just want stable things that work all the time. So probably just going to piss off a bunch of Android people. I love Android on the other hand. Like now when I have an Android phone, I'm like, okay, this has evolved, you know, but it's always an afterthought. Like ChatGPT and many other apps, they would launch iOS first, not care about Android. And even when they launch on Android, it's not the same experience. It's some subpar. Even Google's apps are better on iPhone than they are on Android, which is like sad. So,
I mean, in your case, I would also probably just focus on iOS for now, and then at some point in the future, fix Android. Because,
do you know why? Like, what is my vision with Benji? When I say like an OS, I'm not fucking around. Like, I really mean like, how can you? Apps like Todoist and Google Calendar and this and that, like they're cute and everything, but they'll never help you fix your life because they're not meddling in your life that much. I want Benji to. Like last week, I added like an app blocker. So when you say you'll be focused at work and Benji is running, it's going to kill Slack and all the other apps. So I wanted, you know, to help you in everything. And on iOS, like it can only be an app and a widget. On Android, I can make it a Benji launcher. So I want to take it as far, like this is one of my visions, to have a Benji phone one day, to partner with some Chinese company that produces like e-ink phones. I'm for real. You know, it sounds crazy. It sounded crazy, but now everyone's shipping their AI pens that you can clip here. I'm like, fuck it, I'll make my phone, whatever. So it would run on Android, but it would be locked to the Benji launcher, meaning when you unlock your phone, you instantly see like what's next in your life, but not through widgets. Because when you put your widgets, like you put calendar and weather and whatever, they might not be relevant to the context of where you are right now and what you're doing right now. And when you have Benji, which knows like your planner, to-dos, habits, food, hydration, whatever, and you have like the entire Android screen to fill it with buttons and stuff, you can do whatever the fuck you want. You'll be like, hey, it's time to end your fasting and show that only when the fasting is ending. So what I want to experiment and try to create a launcher with React Native first. So Benji will be set as your app on home screen. And then eventually maybe even partner with some Chinese company and just ship a Benji phone with dog as the logo and Benji is the main thing. Like a dumb phone, basically, that's only for organizing your life, but it doesn't distract you with like Instagram and Twitter and all the other shit.
I like that you have such big visions for a product that doesn't have a landing page.
We'll see. Yeah. that's cool. No landing page, but we'll build a phone one day.
We will build a phone. By the way, if you need more to-dos, you could also integrate all my Apple Health data into Benji, right? So all my calories burned and stuff.
That's on the roadmap. Yeah, we already. But you need to eject from Expo and have like an Expo custom client or something.
Easy, super easy.
I know, but it's like I had bigger fish to fry, and I'm like, if I start playing with Apple Health, I'm gonna waste so much time on that.
So Eventually, I will get into Web3 before you get into.
We should schedule another one in a year, let's say from now. And I'm like, hey, Simon, how's it going? And instead of that, whatever you have behind you, like you'll have like the Bitcoin sign and you're like bullish on Solana or whatever.
Whoever pays the most. I will definitely, when we get back in a year, I will have certainly not worked on all the things I said I want to work on. And I assume you will also
I hope I'll have a landing page.
Maybe you're going to have a landing page at that point. So we're coming to an end. This was hopefully inspiring for the people. This was not the typical episode. I mean, what is a typical episode? I don't know.
I haven't even asked you what is a typical episode.
I don't know. But I like the raw insight into like other apps. That's initially, that was actually my goal. Like Indie Hackers, more technical. And you shared some pretty cool stuff about Blitz.js and TRPC and problems with React Native. So I really like this. And I would love to have you back on in the future.
For sure. Yeah.
Just if you want to talk about more about your products and anything else that you're shipping. So thanks for taking the time. Where should people, what should people check out about you, because you got so many things?
Probably you'll put a link in the description, like kidsair.io is my website. And then you have all my products and all my socials, mostly Twitter, like twitter.com/thekidsair. And that would be it, I guess. Thank you for having me, man. Appreciate it.
Yeah, it's been awesome. Thanks, and talk to you soon.
All right, bye. See you. Bye-bye.